Hey, this is Rick Casales from ExercisesForInjuries.com. Today I have another interview for you, and we're going to kind of continue on with the theme of nutrition and how, you know, nutrition is important for, you know, fitness professionals and health professionals to consider and think about when it relates to their clients themselves and their practice. So I will get my guest to introduce himself, and we'll continue on with the interview.
Hey guys, it's Uriel Kane here. I'm a friend of Rick's. So thanks for having me, Rick. So where do you want me to start? Like, just like kind of my background with, I guess, how I got started and, you know, how I've come to this point in my life?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, we've known each other for probably before we've met. I came across you on YouTube. I saw your YouTube videos. And then we kind of met up maybe a year and a half ago at a fitness conference in California. And I found it really interesting how you kind of went into the nutrition side of things, how, you know, your background was, you know, elite athlete. You know, you did regular schooling, but you found out that there were some pieces missing when it came to all that schooling and, you know, training your clients and training yourself at an elite level. So maybe give some people a bit of a background about yourself when it comes to, you know, the road that you've traveled.
Sounds good. Okay, so like most of the people listening to this call, my background is in strength and conditioning and helping people achieve their fitness goals predominantly. So I went to school at the University of Toronto for kinesiology. That was something I really enjoyed. When I was 15, actually, I guess before that, I should start off by saying my whole life was about soccer. My goal was to play professional soccer. And I ended up doing that when I finished school. I went over to France and played with Lille and kind of realized my life, kind of my childhood dream. Now, before I played professional, when I was 15, I broke my leg. And this is a week before I was supposed to go over to France at one of the youth academies. And I was just, like, heartbroken. I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. Like, I can't believe I just ruined my chances. But it was a blessing in disguise because I had not worked out. I never actually entered a gym before that. When I broke my leg, I was forced, after I kind of got out of my cast and I looked at my leg and I saw it was like skinnier than my forearm, I was like, okay, obviously I have to rebuild my muscle now. So that was the first time I was introduced to a gym. And I was, you know, introduced to a trainer. He put me on a program, started rehabilitating my muscles, got my, you know, build my muscle mass back up. And I really started to enjoy working out. I was like, this is awesome. And from that point on, I just loved going to the gym, working out, and not just, you know, not from a bodybuilding perspective, but from a performance enhancement perspective, because I figured if I can get stronger, I can be more performant on the field. And after that broken leg injury, I was never injured ever again when I, like, playing soccer. Nothing sidelined me. I never missed a game due to an injury. And I attribute a lot of that to conditioning my body properly. So I started really enjoyed exercise and being active and fit, and that's why I pursued studies in kinesiology and health sciences at U of T, because I really enjoyed that. And again, I was just blown away by the stuff I was learning during those 4 years. And I pursued kind of a minor in nutrition, but I was about half a credit away from that. And so I was learning stuff in nutrition that was just like, you know, how many grams of protein per day should we be eating? You know, how much vitamin C is in an apple? Like, stuff that, like, who cares, right? Like, stuff that's not really inspiring. So I didn't really understand. So I didn't really kind of give two craps about nutrition. I mean, I was going to class eating donuts and drinking second cup coffees. When I was 17, I actually my diet was so bad, but I didn't realize my diet was so bad. I grew up eating everything other than fruits and vegetables. So a lot of processed foods, lots of grains, pasta, cereals, breads, you know, a lot of the stuff that they tell athletes to eat for energy. So I grew up eating a lot of that stuff. And when I was 17, I developed an autoimmune condition called alopecia. And essentially what happened was I lost all of my hair within 2 months. And this is like in my last year of high school. So I had long brown hair, you know, full eyebrows, all that stuff. And it was gone in 2 months. It was crazy. So I didn't understand what was going on. My doctors didn't know. They said, okay, it's alopecia. We don't know what we can do. There's nothing you can do about it. We'll give you some cortisone injections in your head. I'm like, no thanks. And so I didn't really know what to do. So I just kind of, you know, business as usual, just kept doing what I was doing and did so for the next several years, all the way through university, all the way up until I was 24 when I stopped playing soccer and I hung up my boots because I realized I didn't want to do that anymore. I realized there was something else I really wanted to do. I didn't necessarily know what it was. I think, you know, obviously at the time I felt like, okay, well, it has something to do with helping others. So I came back to Toronto when I finished playing when I was 24. And my girlfriend at the time was interested in learning more about this the school that was teaching holistic nutrition. So I went to an open house, and within the first 30 minutes, I was blown away. I was just like, I can't believe what I've just heard over these past 30 minutes. And I thought, okay, well, during that time, having come back from France, and before that, while I was in school, I was actually training clients as a personal trainer and strength and conditioning coach. So I had taken all these clients, and I'm like, you know, all this time I've been training them fitness-wise, but I had no clue about the nutrition side of things, right? So I'm like, between clients, I would be eating bagels and all this kind of stuff. So I had no idea. And so I went to this open house, and I was like, my eyes just like jumped out of my head. And I was like, I must enroll in this course. And it was a year-long intensive program. And I came out of that year knowing more about nutrition than I could ever imagine. And still having, you know, just a desire to learn more and more and more, because with nutrition, it's such a fitness is easy in comparison to nutrition. Like, diet and nutrition is like a whole universe that we still don't know much about in the grand scheme of things. I mean, we know things, but there's still things that we're uncovering all the time that's just mind-boggling. So what was amazing is during my first couple weeks of the holistic nutrition school, I started changing my diet, and I started adopting more of a plant-based diet, getting rid of a lot of processed foods, eating really just more of a natural diet, and I regrew all my hair. It was crazy, and I was just like, "What is going on here?" So I was asking my professors. A lot of these were naturopathic doctors and different holistic practitioners, and I was asking them, "I'm like, have you guys ever, like, do you think my diet could have attributed to my autoimmune condition?" They're like, "Oh yeah, we see it all the time." I'm just like, what? Where have you been my whole life? So, you know, on one side we have like the allopathic medicine, which is saying we have no idea what is causing this, and then apparently this whole other realm of traditional alternative medicine, which is saying, yeah, we see this stuff every single day. And I was just like, wow, what a disconnect. So, and they're like, yeah, whatever the autoimmune condition is, whether it's MS or fibromyalgia or anything else, it's all the same cause. It's just manifested in different ways. And that just, again, that just, I was just like, oh, my goodness. So when I started changing my diet, I started seeing this firsthand, and I regrew all my hair. I still keep my head shaved because it's kind of my claim to fame over the past, like, 15 years now. But having eyebrows is nice. You know, you don't look like a cancer patient anymore. So... but it was, yeah, it just kind of blew my mind, and I just figured, you know, if I didn't know this stuff, there must be tens of hundreds of millions of people who don't know this either. And so while I was in school, I actually wrote my first program called Eating for Energy, and we've, you know, that's become one of the, like, probably the top-selling raw food program on the internet. It's not a hardcore raw food program. It's more about eating more plant-based foods and how to do so and the science behind it. But, it's been incredible. And to this day, even as an individual who is very passionate about helping people get, you know, fit from a fitness and strength and conditioning perspective, I'm also very adamant about the nutrition side, because I also work as a strength and conditioning coach at the University of Toronto with the men's soccer program. I've done so for the past 7 years. And since introducing the nutrition stuff into these guys, like, these are college kids, right, into their minds, and having them understand that eating McDonald's is a little bit different from having a green smoothie, and having them adopt those type of practices, we've seen the health of our players and the health of our program just skyrocket. So it's powerful. It's very, very powerful. And I'm really just adamant about getting the message out, because there's a lot of misinformation about nutrition. There's a lot of nonsense that's being taught. And I just want to do my part in kind of ending the confusion, giving people the nuts and bolts, what they need to know to help themselves, and, you know, in this case, their clients, in a very, very straightforward fashion.
Okay, and so it sounds like you did the traditional route of kind of going through school, and I've been to those nutrition classes and done two university classes of nutrition where it's really focused on a lot of the macronutrients and really deep science behind things. But you kind of found doing this kind of alternative nutrition style really kind of opened up your eyes when it came to like really a lot of the practical side of things and how it can affect you, your athletes, and your clients. Maybe you can kind of give us, you know, a couple examples, because like the traditional school thinking is a lot of the, you know, supplementation, but maybe how are things a little bit different when it comes to, you know, what you learned in this alternative nutrition thinking?
Yeah, well, I'm still a very science-based guy. Like, I understand people want to see the research. They want to know why stuff is happening, and I'm the same way. Like, when I first started into raw foods, there was, like, a lot of ridiculous claims, and I'm like, where's the research behind this? I'm like, you guys are crazy. But I started to apply this stuff, and my life changed. So I was like, you know what? Sometimes it doesn't even matter what the science says. If your health and life will change for the better, that's really all that matters. So I kind of balance between both worlds, and I show people a more pragmatic side of things where there's not just, okay, this will work, just try it, but also research, you know, behind what I'm talking about. As an example, one of the first classes, actually, I'll just give you an example from the open house. The open house, the first lecture was talking about cholesterol. And up to this point, I was under the impression that cholesterol in our body was directly correlated to the cholesterol we were eating in our diet, right? We hear it all the time, you know, don't eat egg yolks because egg yolks are bad for you because they have a lot of cholesterol. Well, unfortunately, that's where all the nutrition is other than the protein. So this professor was talking about cholesterol and how, you know, without getting too kind of conspiracy theory about this stuff, essentially what's been happening in the medical industry is that the medical industry is very, very chummy, if you will, with the pharmaceutical industry, which we all know. And what they ended up doing was they actually lowered the adequate or the safe limits for cholesterol in the blood. So if you went to the doctor and you said, okay, well, this is my level of cholesterol, several years ago, that would have been okay. But they lowered the level of normal cholesterol to a lower level so that if you came in to the doctor with the same cholesterol number as before, your doctor would now be forced to give you Lipitor, a cholesterol-lowering statin, which has been shown to be detrimental to numerous aspects of our health. And this is stuff that, again, I was not hearing from the dietetic approach going through university. And, again, learning more about cholesterol in the sense that dietary cholesterol really has no impact on the cholesterol levels in our body. In fact, what happens is cholesterol is a very important compound in our body, which makes up part of the cell membranes and is manufactured in the liver in response to different things that happen in the body. So, for instance, as an example, if you smoke or drink or eat a lot of sugar, that is probably a bigger risk factor for increasing or clotting your arteries than eating red meats. The reason for that is because when you do those kinds of things, when you eat those kinds of foods or drink or smoke, you're creating a lot of free radical damage in your body and specifically in your arteries. So consider free radicals like a knife that are kind of scarring your arteries. And what happens is the body, as a defense mechanism, takes cholesterol from the liver and deposits it down within those arteries to kind of cover up those scars. It's a brilliant mechanism, and it's simply a defense mechanism that the body is using to patch up any kind of scars and wounds. The same way if you cut your finger and, you know, you kind of develop a scar tissue around that, the same thing happens in your arteries with, you know, if you're eating those kinds of foods and doing those kinds of things. That's what cholesterol is doing naturally. So, again, there's even more research that's been done, and I think there's been two studies that have shown that eating more than 6 eggs a week increases your cholesterol levels, not even significantly. And again, there were so many different caveats in those studies that they're almost insignificant. The vast majority of the research shows that no matter how many eggs you eat a week or no matter how much cholesterol you intake into your body through your diet, it has very, very, very minimal effect on your body's actual level of cholesterol. What is more of a factor, again, is your overall lifestyle, your overall dietary habits, and things like that. So those are some things that I was starting to be introduced to that I was just like, whoa, I've never heard this before. Really opened up my mind to exploring different things. Another thing that we started learning about was, you know, this concept of whole foods, right? Foods are more than protein, carbs, and fats. So the problem is in North America, we've kind of Weight Watchered our approach to food. It's all about counting points, counting calories, counting percentages, and it's not even about food anymore. If you take an apple, okay, well, how many carbohydrates does that apple have? Well, who cares, right? I mean, how much protein, how much fat? That's what we've done with our foods. And unfortunately, our body doesn't respond to food that way. There's so many other compounds in an apple, as an example, that we don't even know of, that we can't even quantify, that are so important to our health, that looking at food a little bit more qualitatively as opposed to quantitatively, I think is a very important thing for people to do. Because now we're looking at the synergistic effect of foods. I'm just going to turn off my phone here. So we're looking at the synergistic effect of foods as opposed to what individual components of a food is doing to our body or inside of our body. So I never really thought about foods that way. I'd always thought about foods like, you know, how many grams of, or how much, you know, how many carbs am I taking in by eating this, or how much protein am I taking in. But none of that really matters when you actually follow a whole foods diet. And by whole foods, we're just talking about eating natural foods, more plant-based foods. And when you do so, you get everything you need and more. I'll give you one more example. Specifically, I think this would be interesting with respect to the individual people we're talking to on this call is the protein question. You know, again, this has been construed to us, and we've been led to believe by bodybuilders and bodybuilding magazines that we need, there's a direct relationship between protein consumption and muscle growth, which essentially says the more protein you eat, the more muscle you'll have. Well, if that were true, if we ate more protein, we would gain muscle until our bodies exploded. Well, so obviously that doesn't happen. So, but we've been led to believe that, you know, if we need a lot of protein if we want to build muscle, or we need a lot of protein if we're an athlete. And the research actually shows that that's not true at all. I'll give you a couple examples. The research in general shows that if you're looking to build mass, if you want to put on muscle, no matter what you do, other than following, obviously, a good training program, over a 12-week period of time, you're look at putting on 2 to 7 pounds of muscle, no matter what you do with your diet, no matter how much protein or how little protein you have. 2 to 7 pounds is kind of where you're at. The only significant factor that will dramatically increase your muscle mass is steroids. They've done studies where they've had people not train at all who have actually gained more muscle mass on steroids than those doing a training plan plus high protein consumption. So, you know, it's really interesting. And again, a lot of this is just a matter of, instead of having, you know, people go through all the research. I mean, I've just done all the legwork for, you know, for our clients and for, you know, for people who are interested, because a lot of this is confusing. You read magazines, you see these things, you go to the health food store and you're like, okay, I got to get a tub of whey protein. But it really, you don't need to. What it comes down to is protein, just to make it very simple for everyone, you need about 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight in protein. And that roughly works out to 70 to 120 grams of protein per day. That's it. No more is going to help you out. And if you have less, you know, if you're like 60 grams, like I'm generally between 60 and 80 grams of protein per day. But again, I train 5 days a week and I'm leaner and stronger than I've ever been. You don't need much, much more protein than that. At the same time, for me, that works out to be about 10 to 12% of my daily protein, my daily kind of caloric value. That works out to be about 10 to 12% of that in protein intake. So it's not high, it's not very, very low, but it's a lot lower than a lot of other people are telling us that we have to have our protein intake at, just so they can sell more protein supplements and other powders and, you know, kind of, you know, continue this cycle of increased protein consumption, which in a lot of cases actually, as I talk about in other places, is actually pretty detrimental to our health in terms of what it does in our blood and with uric acid and all this kind of stuff. But we don't need to get into that. So, yeah, so those are kind of some examples.
Okay. And then kind of coming from, you know, like a fitness professional's perspective, like how would you, like, you know, gather, you know, getting the information that you've suggested and provided, how have you integrated it into working with your athletes and working with your clients? Because when it comes to the fitness professional, a lot of times the perspective they have is that, you know, dealing with nutrition is taboo, providing guidance when it comes to what people should eat is
out of their scope of practice. So how is it that you end up, you know, providing nutritional guidance to your athletes and clients?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because a lot of people, when I was exclusively a trainer, so before becoming a nutritionist, I didn't really care. I was like, well, I'll just recommend them to some nutritionist or dietitian. And that's probably what a lot of people do. And I mean, in a lot of cases, you should, because, you know, give that person to somebody who specializes in that field. But at the same time, it's also important as a fitness professional to, you know, we're very interested in what makes our body work, what makes things happen. Why is it that this injury happened? Why is it that, you know, our muscles do this? With me in nutrition, I just wanted to learn more. And the importance of that for me was to be able to educate my clients about it, my athletes about it. It wasn't so much about saying, okay, go on this diet, because that's not what it's about. It's about empowering individuals with the right information so they can make better decisions for themselves. And from a fitness professional standpoint, if you can teach your clients some fundamental, if you can give them the fundamental understanding of how your body, for instance, processes sugar, not that you have to go into every single molecular detail about it, but if you can give them better understanding, whether it's showing graphs or charts or, you know, showing them how it works inside the body, I guarantee you they will be less likely to eat sugar. They will be scared away from sugar. And that's a powerful thing, because education leads to motivation. When people understand what's happening in their body, when they understand how to build muscle, well, now they're motivated, right? They want to try a new training plan. Now they want to try some new techniques. The same thing happens with nutrition. When you learn about, what high amounts of protein does to your body, what it's doing inside your blood, you're a little bit more motivated to not eat as much protein. So I think it's really important, because as fitness professionals, we're really healthcare professionals. We're really, you know, the original term for doctor, you know, means teacher, and we're here to teach others how to better their health, whether it's to rehab from an injury or improve performance or anything else. Nutrition is a very important component of all of that, because if someone wants to lose weight and they're not able to lose the weight they want to lose, they're not going to keep hiring you as their trainer if you're not getting the results for them that they're paying you to get. So if there's something in your repertoire that's missing, and again, you don't have to become a full-blown nutritionist, but if you have the tools and the knowledge and a basic understanding of what needs to happen for that person to meet their goals, and you can educate them in that process, you're not only going to help them achieve their goals, but you're also going to establish a little bit more trust, and you're going to build more value into that relationship, because now you become a quote-unquote trusted expert in different areas of nutrition that, you know, maybe they don't want to go see a nutritionist. Maybe they're already, you know, putting X amount of money into training with you or with a particular trainer, and that's for them, that's their budget. But if you can give them additional value, and again, you know, we all do it. Trainers always do it. I mean, when I was training clients, you know, 14 hours a day, I was still giving nutrition advice to my clients without having any idea really what I was talking about, other than, okay, well, if you want to lose weight, you literally have to eat less than you're working out, and let's work out some numbers. But again, that doesn't empower people to make better decisions with their food. So the big thing for fitness professionals is about, first of all, understanding yourself so that you can educate others, and then obviously for yourself to be able to eat a lot healthier as well, because, you know, a lot of trainers and fitness professionals, you know, train well, they work out properly, but they don't necessarily eat well. So I've been there and experienced that, and that's what's worked really well for my clients with our athletes, and then that's really the message that I try to get across.
Okay. Excuse me. So with our, you know, so with your clients and your athletes, I mean, you're providing them education and guidance when it comes to, you know, their training program, their exercise program, the exercises they're doing. So oftentimes what they end up asking you is, you know, guidance when it comes to nutrition, kind of like what type of foods they should and shouldn't be eating, and then you provide your feedback on, you know, what's going to help them, you know, what the pros and cons of this are, and, you know, something to kind of think about if you end up eating this or that. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a natural tendency for all of us to do. It's just that the answers that one trainer will give or one fitness professional might be very different from somebody else's. And that's where the problem starts, is because I've had clients, and we've all had clients who have told us, well, I read somewhere that, or my friend's trainer told her and told me that, or I read somewhere, or, you know, it's all these, like, you know, 6 degrees of separation stories that have been filtered into our, you know, into our database of knowledge from nutrition that's totally flawed, you know. So it's about getting the right answers. And unfortunately, the right answers are sometimes very tough to find. I mean, what most people are doing is they're spending hours online searching for answers, and they're just becoming more confused by going from one website to another, where they're getting different points of view in a lot of cases. So they just end up even more frustrated than they were to begin with. And the second thing is that they're talking to experts who are heavily biased to push a specific diet. Now, I talked about, okay, I wrote a program called Eating for Energy, and yes, I was, you know, subjectively biased to eating more plant-based foods. But at the same time, I recognize that if you want to eat, if you need to eat meat, that's totally fine. But let me educate you about what you need to do to make it as healthy as possible. So it's not about pushing a specific diet or approach on somebody. It's about giving them, again, the tools, teaching them how to fish so that they can fish for themselves, so that when they go to the grocery store, they understand the difference between this and that. They can make a better decision for themselves. And that is the power. That is the true power to long-term change. And that's what I try to get people to do, is really understand why they're doing things, what they're doing, the difference between certain things. You know, if I tell somebody to eat an avocado, well, why should I eat an avocado? I heard it has a lot of fat. Well, yes, it does, but it has, you know, 90% monounsaturated fat. Well, here are the benefits of monounsaturated fat. Here's what it does in your body, blah, blah, blah. If you can explain that to somebody, you just increase your credibility 1,000-fold. And the respect that person has for you now is that much greater as well.
That's great. That's
And it's not an ego thing. It's not about, you know, trying to know it all. It's not about that. It's just about giving people the value you can provide for them if you have that knowledge. If you have the knowledge, you know, share it with others.
Okay. Really, very good point. Very good point. Now, we're kind of coming to the end of our interview. Is there any, you know, last-minute things that you want to leave with people, any points or things to really remember?
There's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff. But I think at the end of the day, as a general rule of thumb, here's what I tell people: I'm like, if you avoid eating foods that are advertised, you will be healthier than 99% of the population. So if you see an ad on TV for a food, don't eat it. If you see an ad for a food in a magazine, don't eat it. It's very simple, because a lot of these foods are not apples, they're not broccoli, they're not grass-fed. Naturally raised beef, right? They're packaged foods, processed foods that are coming from big food conglomerates that want to sell you something. So that's a very simple rule of thumb. And if you actually just followed that, you'd be a lot better off. It essentially means eating more natural whole foods. And that's essentially what we're trying to get at. It doesn't matter if you're going high protein, low protein. None of that stuff is really important. If you just focus on eating more natural foods, more fruits and vegetables, better quality meats, better quality animal products if you're going to be eating those, that's where it starts. The other thing is about, I tell people to selectively choose the people they're following or they're getting advice from, because in today's day and age, we are overwhelmed with too much information. There's too much information, and that's leading to a number of things, including confusion, overwhelm, and frustration. And when all that happens, people feel hopeless. They don't feel that they're in power anymore, because it's just too much, and they don't know where to turn. And so one of the things that we're actually doing this month is we have a really, really awesome new university that we're calling it, that we're launching. And to kind of kickstart people off in the right direction, we have a free report that we're giving out this week. It's called the Big Fat Food Lies, 7 Nutrition Lies That Are Keeping You Sick, Fat, and Frustrated. And these are 7 very common diet and nutrition myths that are, again, that are keeping people sick, fat, and frustrated. These are things that most people are believing is true. And in this report, I show you the reality, the truth behind these. We talk about the truth about soy. Is it good or bad? You know, how much protein do you need? You know, some of the stuff we just talked about. Is fat actually making people fat? Is the real culprit behind heart disease? You know, things that we've been led to believe as true, well, unfortunately, they've been lying to us, and not necessarily that they don't know otherwise, but it's just, again, it's the information that's been put in front of us, you know, because there's a lot of money behind it. And so in this free report, I believe we have it available till February 9th for free. You can download it for free. Again, we dispel all these myths, all these lies, and actually give people the truth, and with obviously the research behind it. So that's something I would highly recommend. You know, anyone who's interested in bettering their own health as well as the health of their clients, download a free copy of this. And if you're interested in learning more about our university and stuff afterwards, you can do so. But that's where I'd start. I really urge people to, again, limit the amount of information coming in because it's too much. Selectively choose a couple people or a couple sources that are getting your information from that are credible and they're actually results producing, and stick with that, because if you can just, you know, focus in on a couple things and just, you know, stick to that, you'll greatly reduce your confusion, you'll greatly reduce any frustration you have, as well as, you know, that of your clients, and you'll probably sleep a lot better at night with less information in your head.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Yuri. So thank you very much, Yuri, for your time and, you know, your great information and your insight on things. And, you know, thank you, ExercisesForInjury.com listeners. You know, Yuri's a guy that I end up following. I've purchased a number of his products and read his blog in order to kind of get, you know, greater insight when it comes to the nutrition side and better understanding when it comes to the raw food side of things. And I encourage you to do the same. So this is, you know, Rick Cassells from ExercisesForInjuries.com. Thank you for joining us for another interview, and we will, you know, see you on the blog or see you on another interview or see you on Facebook. So this is Rick Cassells saying take care and bye-bye.